Today I'm reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 to 7. But now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, Jacob, He who formed you, Israel. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honoured in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you up from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Ben.
Just do a little bit of furniture removing. As we turn to look at that passage which Ben read for us, let's pray and ask that God will indeed speak to us this morning. Let's pray. Father, we want to say thank you this morning. Thank you for the great love that you have for each one of us. Thank you for giving us your written word. Thank you for giving us Jesus, your living word. May we hear him speak to us by your Spirit this morning. And may we have grace to respond to him for his name's sake. Amen. Do you ever feel that God has forgotten you? You hear stories of other people and how God has wonderfully answered their prayers. Or you hear of the amazing things that God has done through them. But he doesn't seem to do that for you. What has God ever done for me, you ask? Or perhaps you're struggling with your sense of identity. Our culture says that we can be whoever we want to be, but that doesn't make sense. It says that we create our identity by our performance, but that only leaves us feeling fragile and insecure. Who am I really, we wonder? Or perhaps it's a different problem. Perhaps you feel that no one could love you. You've done something that you're deeply ashamed of. You feel that you've messed up your life. If other people knew what I'd done, they'd never love me. And if God knows what I've done, then he can't possibly love me. Or maybe you've suffered some trauma. It's not something that you've done. It's something that was done to you. And where was God when that happened, you wonder? How could he possibly have allowed it? Or maybe it's that you're getting older. If my worth is linked to my job, my sporting abilities and my looks, then what happens when I lose them? Has God still got a purpose for me in my old age? Or is he really only interested in young people? But whatever it is, you feel that you don't belong. You worry about whether you're going to make the grade. And you don't feel at home, even here in the church. Well, if those are questions that you ask, or if that's how you feel, then you're not alone. Because that's how the people of God felt in the passage that we've just heard read. At the end of chapter 42, Isaiah speaks of Israel's sins. The Lord says that they're deaf and blind. They won't see what he's doing, and they won't listen to what he's saying to them. And that has consequences. Because they look to other gods to satisfy them, because they ignored God's warnings, God has sent them into Babylon in exile. Who handed Jacob over to become loot and Israel to the plunderers? Was it not the Lord against whom we have sinned? For they would not follow his ways. They did not obey his law, Isaiah says. And so when we turn now to chapter 43, Israel is a broken nation. Does God still love us, they ask? Is there any hope for our future? Or has God permanently abandoned us? So what does God say to them? And what does God say to us this morning? Well, listen again to verse 4 of our passage. Since you are precious and honoured in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. And that's what the Lord says to his people. Just think of the most valuable thing you own. Or think of the most precious thing in your life. Perhaps it's your children. You'd do almost anything for them. You'd sacrifice almost everything. Well, that's how God sees you. He made the heavens and the earth, but you are the apple of his eye. He'd give anything for you, which is exactly what he did. That's how much he loves you. But perhaps you're not sure. How do I know that he loves me? And God answers that question in this passage. God says, firstly, I have redeemed you. Verse 1. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. Now, I guess we've all heard, read about the horrors of the slave trade. Africans were captured by their rival tribes, sold to slave traders, taken to the Caribbean to work in the on the sugar plantations. And their life was a constant misery. And of course, there are modern equivalents of the slave trade. But just imagine that a very wealthy African came to the slave market. And he saw the sufferings of his fellow countrymen and countrywomen. And he was moved by compassion for them. And he gave everything he had in order to set those slaves free, to buy them back out of slavery. Well, that's the picture that Isaiah is using here. The Lord has redeemed his people. He's released them from bondage and set them free. He's bought them back at a great price. And what he's doing here is reminding them of the Exodus. This whole section is full of Exodus language. The Lord rescued his people from slavery in Egypt. That was where he created and formed them as his people. That was when he first called them his son. And he brought them out through the waters and then led them through the wilderness and into the promised land. But now, what the Lord is doing is promising them a new exodus. The first exodus is going to be a blueprint for the new exodus. But this will be far, far greater. In the first exodus, he saved Israel from captivity. But now in the new Exodus, he's going to save them from sin and judgment. The first Exodus demonstrated his superiority over the gods of Egypt. But now in the new Exodus, he'll demonstrate his superiority over all his rivals. So when will this happen? Well, it's true, a remnant did return to Israel from captivity under Cyrus. But Israel was still subject to foreign powers. When Jesus was born, they were still waiting for redemption. And the New Testament understands what Jesus did in terms of redemption, in terms of a new exodus. So Jesus said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Paul wrote, "Jesus Christ gave himself for us, to redeem us from all wickedness, and to purify for himself a people that are his very own." And Peter says, "You were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." And Jesus is the price that was paid in order to set us free. How can I be sure that God loves me? Because Jesus died for me. He gave his life to set me free. Now, we may feel that we don't deserve it. And in many ways, that would be right. Like Israel, we're deaf and blind to God. Like Israel, we deserve to be cast away from his presence. And like Israel, we can't rescue ourselves. God has set his love upon us. God has chosen to love us. And that's what he did at the cross, to redeem us and set us free. And it means that you aren't defined by your past. You're not defined by your achievements or lack of them. You're not defined by your success or your failure. You're not defined by how other people think of you. And you're not even defined by how you feel about yourself. You're defined by the love of God in Christ Jesus. "I have redeemed you," he says. "I gave my son for you. You are mine." And that's good news that we can share with others. But then he says, secondly, I will be with you. Because Israel faced great suffering in exile. The waters threatened to overwhelm them, and the fires of judgment licked at their feet. But God promises to be with them. He won't let his judgment destroy them. And that's true for all who trust in Christ. Because we all face trials and temptations. Our faith is tested. And at the moment, you may feel that you're in over your head. That you're in a pressure cooker and it's getting hotter and hotter. But God's purpose is to refine you. I will be with you, he says. I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. And he hasn't forgotten you when you suffer. Nothing will be able to separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. But how can I be sure, you ask? Because God himself came and lived among us. He's Emmanuel, God with us. And he walks with us in the darkest valleys. And he's experienced the very worst that people can do. Jesus was forsaken on the cross in order that we might never be forsaken. And it means that we don't need to be afraid. Do not fear, says God in verse 1. Do not be afraid, verse 5. You haven't been abandoned. And yes, it may be that you're going through a severe trial at the moment. But it doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. It's an invitation to know him better. Do not be afraid, for I am with you, he says. And thirdly, he says, I will bring you home. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, who I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. And the Lord led his people Israel through the wilderness and into the promised land. And the Lord will bring his people home in the new Exodus. That's God's ultimate purpose for his people, to bring us to his new creation. And it's not just the descendants of Abraham who will enjoy that. God will gather his people from the east and the west, from the north and the south. He'll gather everyone who is called by his name. Yes, that includes believing Jews, but it includes believing Gentiles as well. Christians are those who are called by the name of God. We're his sons and his daughters. We're no longer orphans. We're children of God. And I think that speaks to the confusion that many have about their identity today. Who am I really? Do I have any value? And the answer is yes, I belong to God. We may feel we don't fit in this world, we don't belong. But in Christ, we're not nobodies, we're somebodies. We're God's prized possessions. We're his sons and daughters. It's like the song we sing, I am who you say I am. And we need to let that truth sink in, not just here in our heads, but deep in our hearts. It's not how young or how old we are. It's not how clever or how beautiful we are. We are sons and daughters of the living God. And that's not a status we achieve. It's a status we receive. I have redeemed you. I will be with you. I will bring you home. Why? Because the Lord loves his people. Because we are precious and honored in his sight. And he loves us. But even that's not the full answer. It's because he created us for his glory. That was true of Israel, and it's true of the church. And other people should see the character of God in us. You and I are the evidence of the new Exodus. So perhaps you know somebody who is struggling with these questions. Perhaps you could share some of these truths with them. Or perhaps you're not a believer. You may not feel that these things are true of you, but they can be. You can hear God calling you this morning, calling you to himself, to his love, offering you that meaning and purpose and identity. How will you respond to that love this morning? Or maybe you're a believer and you're trying to follow Jesus. But it's hard and you know that you fail at times. You wonder if he still loves you. You wonder if he still has a purpose for you. Well, don't be afraid, says the Lord. I love you. I gave my son to make you my child. And it changes everything when we believe that. So I want to finish with a suggestion. Why don't we all read this passage every day this coming week? Read it slowly. Let it sink down into our hearts. Hear God saying these words to our soul. Give thanks to God for its truths and pray that he'll give us opportunities to share those truths with somebody else.